God bless you this morning. I've already had church. I don't know about you. Lord has moved in tremendous ways, but in a sense, all that's happened already is just confirmation to what I believe God is saying and the message that God has placed on my heart. Let me ask you a question. You know, as you live life, do you feel, you know, focused in your life? Do you feel that you've got it all figured out? Or are you more on the scattered and tired side of things? Which side do you see yourself on? Where you can see clearly what you need to do and you're able to function in that and there's a joy in doing that? Or are some of your days filled with kind of a scattered kind of feeling? Okay, I got to do this. What was the other thing I got to do? You know, kind of like that tired kind of place. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I believe that most of us gravitate somewhere in the middle. There's some days where we are focused, some days where we got our stuff together, and then there's other days we wake up and we're like, oh, another day. What am I supposed to do again? And we're just literally, we got that brain fog that they talk about, you know, where we're just not sure what to do. Here's what I believe and what this series of messages over the next number of weeks are going to talk about. I want to bring each and every one of us to a place where that needle in our life is focused more on the focus part and not on the scattered and tired side. I believe that that's what God wants us to have. I believe fully in that. But for us to have a life on purpose or living on purpose, we have to have a foundation. And there's only one foundation, and the prophetic word spoke about it. We heard it over and over again. In the songs, we heard about it. And it's this, and I'm going to use different terminology than they did, but we need to have a holy moment. We need to have a series of holy moments in our lives. This is so, so important. What am I saying when I say a holy moment? I'm talking about a genuine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean it just a feel-good kind of thing. I mean something beyond that, where when you hear from God, it's transforming to you. See, that's a holy moment. That's a real moment. It's not a moment where you just feel good and you feel tingly. That's okay. I like tingly. How many people like tingly? That's okay. Means you're alive. Thank God for that. But here's the thing. That tingleness needs to take you someplace, needs to speak to you, needs to guide you, needs to move you in some way. And if it's not moving you, I'm not sure it's God. I'm not sure it's God. Because I look at my life, I look at those who I respect around me. When they had a holy moment, an encounter with Jesus, they were changed. You're never the same again. And I'm not talking about, you know, you went away on a weekend and you had an encounter for days on end. Listen, you can have an encounter with Jesus of 5 seconds in length, and it will change your life. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I look at my life, and literally, I could tell you, here's the thing. 5 seconds in a haymow in 1985 changed my life. It brought me from death to life. It brought me from going to hell, from going to heaven, where there was a holy moment where I encountered Jesus. 5 seconds in the 1990s, in the early 90s, when God spoke to me and said, son, you're going to leave where you live and move away. In that 5 seconds, it brought me from one country to another to pick up my family and leave to go to another place. Now, I may be scaring some of you. Some of you might be saying, whoa, time out here. I don't want no holy encounter if God's going to make me do this. Let me tell you something. God never made me do any of those things. But through those encounters, through those 5-10 second moments, it transformed me in such a way. I knew what God had said. I knew that he had called me to it, and I just had to obey. Not that he was forcing me, but I knew that it was him. And if I follow him, good things follow me. That's just how it works. Now, that's the problem for many of us, and me included. We already have our life all straightened out. We already kind of got a plan, and we're on this road going, and all of a sudden now God's speaking to us, like, well, what do you mean do this or do that? I got, Jesus, you know, don't you know my schedule? Like, you know, come on. You know, I got this and this and this. I'm doing this. You know, some of it I'm even doing for you. And the Lord says, no, I want you over here. I need you to do this or call this person or do this thing. You see, that's the problem for many of us, and I'm putting myself in this too. Let me tell you, some of the best messages you're going to hear from me is the ones God's telling me, all right? You're just getting the overflow. So this is what God's telling me, is that I have to be willing to take a step aside from my agenda, from what I want, to do what he wants. Now, isn't that really living on purpose for God? Doesn't that summarize what God wants us to do? He doesn't want us just to exist down here, to just kind of get through life and hopefully, you know, without too many scrapes and bruises, get through to the other side and get to heaven. Let me tell you something. God's got so much more for each and every one of us to have a fulfilled life, a kind of life you wake up in the morning and it's like this: Lord, I am so excited. What are we going to do today? You know, literally that kind of a heart. That's what God wants you and I to have. Not one of those, oh, it's Monday morning again. I got to go make the donuts. You know what I'm saying? Or I got to go to school, or I got to do this. It's not like this. I get to go to school. I get to go to work, which is my mission field. That's what God has called us to be like. That's what God wants. But here's the thing. You can't have that excitement apart from holy moments. You can't be energized without the presence of the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. Now, I pray for those online and those that I'm seeing here that you've had at least one holy moment. And how does that happen? It happens that day that you ask Jesus to come into your heart. There's a scripture, and we can refer to it in John 10. And Jesus says this, John 10, verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He shall come in and go out and find pasture. What a wonderful scripture. So Jesus is the door to holy moments. And the most holy one of all is where you're on the road to hell. You know, I'm using real honest words. Using the scripture, you're on the road to hell. And all of a sudden, God intervenes and says, hey, hello, I've got a better way. Come and follow me. And you turn in those few seconds of time and begin down a new road, a new spiritual journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer alone, but hand in hand with the creator of the universe. Now, if that was our only scripture we ever learned, that's good enough, right? But the Lord is more than that. He goes on and shares in verse 10, he says this, but the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the abundant. And so here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm the door. I'll save you. But then he warns us. What's he warn us? He says, look, there's an enemy of your soul that wants to rob you of that fullness. He wants to rob you of everything that I want to give you. That's the Lord speaking. And so we have to make a decision. Are we going to let the devil, the thief, steal from us, rob us, kill us, keep us from the fullness of the purpose that God has for us? And I hope it's a resounding no. We don't. But here's the thing. He works really, really, really hard to hinder you and I from fulfilling our purpose. You see, when we're fulfilling our purpose, we're glorifying Jesus. When we're fulfilling our purpose, we're seeing people saved around us. When we're fulfilling our purpose, miracles are happening around us. You know, awesome stuff is happening. So the question I ask is, how much of that's happening? And it could be for us, and I'm with you, okay? So when I say us, I'm in the boat with you too, that maybe we spend too much time doing our own thing than doing what God's called us to do. And God is asking us to step aside from our normal patterns of life and have a fresh encounter with Him. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at a man, just a few verses. We're going to look at his life. You see, I believe that there are three ingredients necessary to go from ordinary moments to extraordinary moments. Let me just give those to you as you're turning. The first one is an ability to hear or see. In other words, you've got to know that God is speaking to you. You've got to know that He's beckoning you to have that holy moment. So you got to have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to comprehend. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you already have all the running gear. You already have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He already is there, willing and wanting to speak to you on a daily basis. See, I don't believe these holy moments should be something you get every decade. I think they should happen every day. Every single day. And multiple times a day. That's what I believe. It's wonderful when God does something a decade, but how about we squeeze that and make it like once a day? How many people would like an encounter with Jesus once a day? I'm going to take a survey at the end, and I hope more hands come up. Some hands might go down, and when you find out some of the qualifications, all right. But let's go on. First of all, you have to have the ability to hear or see. The next thing is to have an open heart. Are you willing, when He does show you something or speak to you or reveal something to you, are you willing to say, okay, Lord, I'll take that? You see, some people, and it's sad, but some people think that encounters with Jesus are just tingly feelings. And Jesus does that at times. But there's usually a purpose for that encounter. Instruction, maybe chastisement, maybe rebuke. maybe a redirection. So the point is, you might not always want to hear what he has to say, but are you open enough to know that he knows what's best for you? See, that's important. We sang about these songs, how much God loves us, the king of our heart, how much he loves. All the songs talk about his goodness. You know, over and over and over. We sing the songs easily, don't we? But do we really believe it? Because if we really believe he's all that and more, then whatever he says, Lord, I'll do it. You know, is that your response? And it needs to be. It needs to get to that. And all of us are on a spiritual journey. We're all in different places in our lives. We got circumstances and all kinds of different things happening. I get that. But God wants us to get one more step down that road today. That's what I'm believing for each and every one of you. No matter where you are, that you're one more step closer to what God has for you. That's what I'm believing for you. So the third thing is availability. So look at these three again. Ability to hear or see, an open heart. And finally, do you have some time carved out in your life to actually spend time in a holy moment with him? I thought with COVID, I wouldn't have much to do. How many people found out that you actually have more to do? It's kind of weird that way, right? You know, I can't tell you how many times I drove away from my house, got to the store, got out, and realized I didn't have my stupid mask. So I had to drive all the way back home, get my mask, and then go. Talk about a waste of time, if you know what I'm saying. And the thing is, it seems that with COVID, we are busier than ever before. Even for some of you who work from home, it just seems that your time is just taken up. I'll tell you something. That's the enemy robbing you of holy moments. You've got to take that. You got to carve out that time. Sometimes you just got to say, look, I'm putting everything aside so that I can seek you, Lord. Now, here's the thing. I wish that I could count to 10. We could do, you know, 10, 9, you know, count down to 0, and each one of us could have a holy moment. How many people would love to do that, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? Got news for you. It doesn't work that way. Works on God's timetable. In Scripture, there's two words for time. One is chronos, and it's watch. Literally, it just means the time. I look at the time in the back, 11:25 right now, according to that. So it's that type of time, chronos, it's just time. But there's another word that's used in Scripture for time, and that's kairos. Now, that word is a very interesting word. What that means is a divine moment in time. So a kairos can happen in a chronos moment, if you get what I'm saying. And Jesus uses those words interchangeably. You can actually see it in Acts 1. He talks about that, times and seasons. And the word seasons is kairos. But for you and I, we need to realize that Chronos is going to keep going. But kairos is something that God sends us. Now I ask you again, do you want a kairos moment with God, a divine moment with him? Well, let's look at a man's life for just a few minutes here. In Exodus chapter 3, just a few verses we're going to look at. This is Moses, all right? Begin at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Verse 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. As we look at the life of Moses, it naturally divides up into three sections. He lived to be 120 years old. The first 40 years he spent in Egypt. The next 40 years he spent out in the wilderness. And then the next 40 years leading the children of Israel. Well, where we're reading is after he had left Egypt, he had actually killed an Egyptian, ran for his life. He ends up in the wilderness. I'm giving you a huge story in about 10 seconds, gets married, has a couple kids, looking after his father-in-law's sheep in the backside of the desert. And so for 40 years, he's doing that, all right? So we're picking that story up near the end of those 40 years. And he sees this burning bush. And it says, you know, talks about the angel of the Lord was in the bush. But here's the thing. We have that for our benefit, but he didn't know that. What he saw was the burning bush. Because again, if you look at verse 3, he says, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush doesn't burn. So he didn't recognize that this was the angel of the Lord in that bush, okay? Really important for you to realize that. So picture the scene. Here's Moses with his sheep. He's got his little stick, you know, he's moving them along. And what they would do in that part of the country is that they would go to different areas depending on the season. So in the springtime, they would go to certain places because there'd be grass there for his flock. And then as the rains changed because of the mountain ranges around, he would move. So what would happen is every year he would follow a route. So the first question that comes to me as I read this is, how long was that burning bush there? Because he says in verse 3, I will now turn aside and check this out. I will now turn aside. That gives you the idea that he's seen this bush before. How long was it? 2 years? 3 years? 4 years? 5 years? 39 years? How many burning bushes are along your path of life right now? And you've just kept on walking, kept on doing your thing. You've noticed it. You're like, I wonder what that is. I wonder if that's God trying to say something. And you carried on. Something I want you to see here. If you look at verse 4, so when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. See, here's the problem for you and I. We want to walk our path. Hey, Jesus, when you need me, give me a call. That's not what happened there. It wasn't until Moses decided to turn aside and God noticed that God began to speak. I wonder whether some of us are not hearing from God. We're having Jesus moments all around us. He's there. The bush is burning. You hear what I'm saying? And yet we're just doing our thing and not turning aside so then he can see that we're turning to him so he can speak. How many times a day is that happening in our lives? Maybe dozens of times. See, I'm not about God showing up just once every year or once every 10 years. I believe that the Lord wants to be with us every day, all of the time. So I believe that in every circumstance, every situation, there's a burning bush nearby. In other words, the Lord is there for us to consult with. But are we willing to turn so then he can begin to speak to us? Or do we unconsciously or under our breath say this, I got this, Jesus. You know, I did this thing last year. It worked out for it. I'm just going to do it this way again. Rather than allowing him to speak life into that circumstance so that we can have that focusedness and that fullness of purpose, have that peace and joy that some of us are missing in parts of our lives. You see, Moses is a great example. Now, here's the thing. We're not going to read on. But poor Moses. You know what God tells him? You got to go back to Egypt. Now, Moses fights him on it. He says, I don't want to go back there. I killed an Egyptian. They don't like me back there. I'm paraphrasing, but basically, they don't like me. God says, this is what I've called you to do. And when you go on and read the story, and I encourage you, read it in its fullness, God gave him authority. He wasn't doing it in his own strength. You see, there's so many of us, and myself at times included, where we're doing God stuff in our own strength, and it's burning us out. And instead of bringing life into the circumstance, we're actually bringing death. We're not bringing help to people, but hindrances actually, because we're not empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so God is calling us to go back, in a sense, to our foundations, back to holy moments, where we had that first holy moment encountering Jesus, and then a life of holy moments. At our first service, Veronica came up. She had a week before, during worship, in fact, if you're part of this church, you know we often do a song at the end, and we're going to do that today. But during that song, Jesus touched her. She had a holy moment right here, just like Robin did, right there, as she was just worshiping the Lord. So I think we captured it on film. We've never done this before. So what the guys did, they grabbed it, and so we're going to see if we can put it up so you can hear her story. It's pretty amazing. So let's see if we can make that all happen. Here we go. Yep, you're on. Okay, so do me a favor. What happened? You were at church just minding your business, right? Just standing there?
So I thought.
Yeah.
Normally when I'm here, I'm sure many of you too, I end up crying a lot. And it's because, you know, I feel Jesus in my heart and I'm just so touched by the worship and praise. Well, last Sunday, unbeknownst to me, my world got rocked. Now, I'm a mom with two daughters. But when I say that I had the most powerful moment of my life, it's without exaggeration. So I was there, and that song, Standing in the Fire, had played. And I felt like warp speed, all of these memories flashing through my brain as I was worshiping. My history, my past, my pain. And it was like suddenly I realized I had not been alone. I'm so sorry.
It's good. It's okay.
And then Brenda and Bucky came up and laid hands on me. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
That's
and
awesome.
I had heard that speaking in tongues. And I didn't think that was a gift for me. And I realized that what that is a language or a sound that you can't comprehend because your own is so inadequate and inefficient to express the absolute grace and love that you feel in that moment. You can't produce it on your own. So I just want to say thank you to the church, because in the last 2 years I have had so many blessings and I thought that was good enough. But this...
Jesus. It's awesome. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. You know, she said a couple of different things. First of all, she was baptized in the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. That's awesome, all right? She had a holy moment in that, and that's whole subject material we could speak about and spend a lot of time talking about. But that is so, so important. But she said something else, which I want to bring to your attention. She said that God revealed to her that he was with her, that he was with her in some circumstances in the past that were not good. And that changed her. That's when she was touched the most. Now listen to this. That holy moment will lead to new holy moments, because here's what's going to happen. As she continues to walk with the Lord now can say, let me show you this from my perspective now, and be able to take her back and bring healing to those different circumstances. See, that's the kind of God that we serve, the kind of God that wants to bring holy moments and reveal things from your past, your present, and yes, even your future to help you in your life. That's the God that we serve. Brian and Brendan, you want to come up? We're going to play here in a few minutes. So let's stand up. We're going to do something that I know that some of the staff were going to get upset with me. They get upset with me a lot. But here's the thing. Just as Moses had to take a step, he physically had to take a step and got God's attention. Then God began to speak to him, all right? You know, our sanctuary is not very full, and so we got lots of space. So as we're singing this final song, and I'll close in prayer at the end, I would like to invite those who are believing for and want to have holy moments with God, encounters with Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you right now. So if you feel you need to put your mask on to do this, you can do this. But we have a huge altar area up here. It's just third the size of the entire sanctuary. Tons of room, okay? Tons and tons of room. I'm inviting you, as this song is being sung, and you are actually saying, God, I want more encounters with you. I need more encounters. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Just come up in the altar area. You know, we're not going to come and touch you or anything. This is you and Jesus. But the idea you're physically, like Moses physically moved. It's a sign. It's an act, in a sense, of faith to show God that this is what I want. I want more of you. So just come as you feel led to, and then we'll close in prayer at the end.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my soul. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my soul, 'cause you are good. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, let Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, He is my soul. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, He is my soul. 'Cause You are good, You're good. You're good, oh, You are good, good, oh, You are good, good, oh. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, You're never gonna let me down. 'Cause You are good, good. Oh, You are good, You're good. Oh, You are good, good. Oh, You're good. Oh.
I just don't want to exclude anyone. If you're watching online, I encourage you, get up off your couch. Get up out of that lazy boy chair. Just get up and move to a different part. Just over somewhere, just to show that you're moving. God's there too. Just as God's here, His glory covers the earth. So waters cover the sea. He's everywhere. You're everywhere, Lord. So, Lord, right now, You see all those that move forward. You see all those that in their heart made a decision to step towards You. And they have Your attention, Lord. So, Father, I pray for divine encounters, kairos moments, where literally heaven touches earth. Where, Lord God, Your Holy Spirit stirs and moves in a fresh new way, speaking clearly, directing, guiding, chastising if necessary. Because You chastise us because You love us. And so, Father, might we just experience You in every way that You've designed us to experience You. Father, I thank You for every person here. I thank You for those that have been watching, Lord God, and those that will even watch the recording in days and weeks to come. That, Lord God, that You be as real then as You are at this very moment in time. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank You. Bringing healing, restoration. Lord God, those things of the past, Lord, just opening up a different viewpoint that healing might be brought into that wounded heart right now. That, Lord God, that each person here could see that You're a God of love and compassion, that You are a good God all of the time. And anything You say or direct us to do is for the goodness of the kingdom, but it's also for our benefit as well. Because it brings us one step closer to fulfilling the purpose You designed us to be. So, Father, bless each person here. Bless those watching. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And every believer believing for good things said, amen, amen. God bless you this morning. If you'd like specific prayer for anything, we are here for you. God bless you.